Hallelujah. Amen, saints. God is good. And all the time, God is good. All right. If you will look in your order of service, you will find a sermon note sheet. And as you find that sheet, you'll see our theme at the top. And our theme was kicked off last week by our Pastor Kelly, who did an awesome job getting us started moving to the next level. Amen. So just high five somebody and say, we're moving to the next level. I'm moving. We're moving to the next level. Amen. Make it so, Lord Jesus. All right. So last week, Pastor Kelly, she spoke on how to kill the church. So we learned how to do that last week. Amen. And this week, we are moving on to how to heal the church. And next Sunday will be how to build the church. Praise God. And then we're going to change the world for Jesus the next week. All right. I want to thank Karen again for that beautiful, beautiful solo. Amen. Well, saints, looking at our sheet, I want us to just read those words together. You will see John 5, 1 through 9. Amen. We say thank you, Lord, for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh, God, we just give you praise for your power, your love in our lives, and for your healing power. You are the Lord God who heals us. And so we say thank you, Lord, as we actively listen to the preaching of your word, that we would indeed hear you, Lord Jesus, and that we would respond with all that we are and all that we have with yes, Lord, that you might be mightily glorified through our lives and we could experience the joy unspeakable, full of glory that you have prepared for us. Wellness, wholeness, oh God. And so we thank you for freedom today, for being set free, for healing, oh God, and we rejoice in you. And we give you thanks and praise for your transforming power that we will experience as we together read and actively listen to your word. And all God's people join together to say amen and amen. All right, we're going to read this together. We're moving to new levels. All right, together. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Hallelujah. Now, saints, I suppose we all have our challenges to face. Amen. All of us. And as children, we were either too short or too tall or too skinny or too fat or too light or too dark. Somebody else was always smarter or faster or more popular. And as adults, we're either too young or we're too old or we're too inexperienced or we're overqualified or we're too busy or we're alone. And sometimes it's even more serious. We carry the baggage of hurts and pains and abuse that was unfair in our lives. We also worry about how to pay our bills, amen. We grieve over the loss of loved ones and over the losses of many things in our lives. We can agonize over a rebellious child, or we can face uncertain physical, chronic problems. So I want you to say with me today, we all experience disappointments, all of us. We all experience failures, which oftentimes are beyond our control. We get frustrated, we get impatient, we get angry at the way life has treated us, and some of us may even become resentful and bitter. Now, there are some of us who appear on the outside just to have it all together, while on the inside, we're really wondering, does life have meaning? And what does it have meaning for me? It just feels meaningless. Maybe we can't exactly put our finger on it, but we just know something is missing. But this is usually a temporary state, because with so many distractions around us, as Neil Postman says, he says, thanks to our culture, we can easily amuse ourselves to death. It's just, we have so many distractions. So even though we're feeling this, we just get into all of these distractions. And then for many of us, I suspect we're so accustomed to our predictable, safe pattern of living, the way things are, that we become unaware of God's call on our lives to move to higher levels. Praise God, to reach out and to experience more of what God has for us. And so we get accustomed to the familiar, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, that we fail to recognize the difference between living and simply existing. Our status is quo, and thus we fail to recognize the abiding sickness, saints, which resides within each of our own souls. Well, we look at our text here in John 5, and we see 38 years and counting. So whatever pain that we're carrying today, whatever worry, it seems rather insignificant compared to the man in this passage. He had been an invalid for 38 years. That's a long time, saints. And we don't know the cause of his suffering. We just know that for a very long time, he had been unable to do the things most of us take for granted. But apparently, he still had a sliver of hope, praise God. Now, this man took his place with the many others who shared a similar plight. How many know misery loves company? All right. So they all were there, and they were gathered at that pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem, where some said that every now and again, an angel would come and would disturb the waters. And the first one who could get in the water after the angel had stirred it would be healed. Woo! Now that's a mighty tall order if you're unable to get up. That's kind of difficult. If you can't get up, that is a big order. Then one day, everybody say one day, someone better than an angel came along. Hallelujah. Though no one knows it at the time, amen. And his name is Jesus, the friend of sinners, the compassionate, the healer of healers, amen. And surely Jesus will tell them to forget about their superstitions and throw a healing party for them all. But something strange happens next as we look at our text. The compassionate Jesus, he stops and he takes a look at the man lying on the ground. And Jesus asks a very sensitive question. Jesus asks, do you want to be made well? What was Jesus thinking, saints? It was like asking a hungry person, would you like some food? It just seemed like that. But the poor sick man could have come back with something sarcastic. You know how some really know how to come back. He says, sir, yeah, I really enjoy being here completely unable to move. Or so he could have said something like that. Yet there was something about the way Jesus looked at him, something about the way that Jesus asked the question that made it not to be a foolish question after all. For the answer, saints, was not as obvious as it must have seemed. Jesus really wanted to know, do you want to be made well or not? He had waited in his condition for 38 years, saints, and he might not have hardly had any hope left, but there he was. He might have been content to remain an invalid. After all, if he would be cured, he would have to bear the responsibilities of moving to a new level and new levels in his life, amen. He would have to start making a living for himself, praise God. Now, there are those who find security in keeping things as they are. How many know about that? That could be us in some areas. We like things just as they are. We don't want to be moving to no next level. But saints, Jesus asked the question, do you want to be made well? Maybe that isn't such a crazy question after all. Notice that the man failed to give a direct answer. Why not just say, yes, Jesus? But he didn't say that. After 38 long years, that's a long time for you to be able to settle into some kind of comfort and security and safety, even if you're in misery. So being well, saints, it holds more responsibility. When you move to higher levels, it's more accountability. But the man did respond quickly. Scripture tells us he did want to be healed, but he didn't see how, since he had no one to help him up when the waters were stirred within the pool. And besides, somebody else always managed to beat him to the punch when he did try to roll or make his way to the waters. Still and yet, Jesus had to know if the man really wanted to receive the gift of healing. Jesus wanted to know, so he quickly cut right to the heart of the matter. Jesus said, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Now, saints, let's look at the question behind the question. Jesus spoke the word, but God's healing power would not let loose until the man chose responsibility, chose life, decided he wanted to move to another level, risking the experience of transformation. Everybody say transformation. Transformation, the possibility of transformation. Isn't that exciting? In our own lives, think about our own lives being transformed to new levels, and together as a church, transformed to new levels. Well, dear family, what was true then is still true for us today. The deeper question that Jesus asked is, do you really want to be made well? Do we really want to be changed? Hallelujah. So if we are content to stay where we are, no matter how miserable we may be, and some of us are miserable where we are, but if you choose to stay where you are, there will be no possibility of change, no possibility of moving to new levels, no possibility of healing for us. Now, it is almost as Jesus said to the man, come on now, bend your will to it, and then you and I can do great things together. Just bend your will to it, and we can do great things. Saints, the gospel truth is we all must recognize our helplessness apart from God. Every one of us, we are helpless apart from God. Amen. That is our shared human condition. But then we realize it's also true that miracles, everybody say miracles. Miracles can happen when our will cooperates with God's power, hallelujah, to make miracles possible. How many desire some miracle in your life today? There's just something you've been praying for, hallelujah. Well, when our wills are in connection and incorporated with God's power, hallelujah, miracles shall happen. Praise God. Our will, everybody say our will. God's power. Amen. That equals miracles. Well, friends, the question Jesus asked is the ultimate question for each of us as individuals and together as the body of Christ that we all must answer. Do you really want to be made well? Do we really want to be made well, church? Even if God could do only a little for us, are we just comfortable with where we are in our lives right now? Our place in life, we're just so comfortable that we don't want to move to a new level. Where are we today in our lives and together as a church? You know what, saints, too often we just plod along the same old condition, the same old way, the same old day, the same old cravings, yet to be healed. Same old, yet resisting any change whatsoever. Somebody says, well, you need to do this and stop doing that. And we're like, whoo, I don't know about that. Maybe I don't want change as bad as I thought I did. Amen. Carl Sandburg once said, there is an eagle in me that wants to soar, but there's also a hippopotamus in me that wants to just wallow and enjoy the mud. Amen. And me too. There is an eagle in me that wants to soar, and yet at the same time, there's that hippopotamus in me, amen, that just wants to wallow in the mud. How about you? You got both of those inside you? Praise God, saints. We all, every one of us here today, we all have our dreams, amen? We all have visions for our life. And as a church, we have visions. But in our own lives, even with these dreams and visions, as we get a little bit older, life's realities convince us, well, I guess I can settle for less. Or we've been praying for something to happen, it hasn't happened yet, I guess I can settle for less. And then some of us, we just forget about our dream. We forget about our desire and our vision altogether. We get the message that, well, this is just the way the system works, and you know what, I can't do anything about it. Whatever the system is, whether it's marriage, whether it's church, whether it's the educational system, our society, this is the way it works, and so I'll just get sucked into the system, and while my dreams fade away and my visions disappear. Saints, individual or together, how complacent we can become that to our immediate circumstances. It's unbelievable. At first we're like, ooh, I don't like this place. Then after a while we start saying, well, I guess I can live with it. Well, I guess, you know. Then we let our dreams and our visions die. Yes, we as humans have the innate ability to adjust to just about any kind of circumstance in order to survive. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's not so good. And when we lose our dreams and our visions, it's not so good. Sometimes survival is the best we can hope for. Sometimes. Our problem, however, is that we often settle for surviving rather than authentic, powerful living. Amen. I want you to say with me, oh, I'm too live just to survive. I'm too live. I am too live just to survive. Say it like you mean it. Don't just stay in that survival mode. Tell your neighbor, I'm too live just to survive. I'm too live. Amen. I'm not going to live just surviving, Frank. Amen. Praise God. Jesus' question to the man was about physical healing, but the man's physical condition was not the main point of this passage. The question behind the question is about life itself. Just what do you want from life today? What do we want from life today? What is it that you really, really need with God? Well, I'm afraid that many of us, we don't know what we need. Hallelujah. And I just wanted to share with us today some steps toward healing, some paths toward wholeness. How many just want to be made whole, set free, healed, made whole? Hallelujah. Amen. So you may want to jot some of these down. I'm just going to ask you to repeat them after me. We just have a few of them. And these are steps. Now, these steps I got from this book, Wounded, by Terry Wardle. He's a professor at Ashland Theological Seminary. He was one of my professors, and he was also one of Pastor Rick's professors. He's awesome. And so these steps I got from Terry Wardle's book. Steps to inner healing. Step one, I want you to say this with me. Admit that something is wrong. All right, say it together. Admit that something is wrong. All right, like all journeys, the path to healing, inner healing, spiritual healing, we got to admit something's wrong. That at the root, there's something that Jesus needs to touch. Amen. All right, so symptoms that we need an inner healing. Sometimes we experience rage. You know, we just all of a sudden, we just blow up and we don't know why, or fear or depression, or we have all kinds of phobias, you know, or distrust, or some of us are so defensive, we won't let others into our lives or into our hearts. Some of us, we're critical of everything. We blame everybody else. Some of us, we have an inability for intimacy. You know, there's so many. Some of us, panic attacks. Some of us thinking about suicide or violence. Or some of us just want to go outside and run away somewhere. And just who knows when we'll see you again. We have all of these things that are inside of us. It lets us know that we need a touch. We need a healing. Now, some of the coping mechanisms, Terry Wardle says, are behaviors that we hide or mask the pain in our lives, the abuse and the hurts that have happened in the past. Some of us become performance oriented. We become workaholics. You know, we're gonna work so hard and we don't give ourselves a break. Some of us become people pleasers. Some of us addiction to approval or addiction to tension or addiction to go around and rescuing. It just goes on. Alcohol, chemical abuse, eating disorder, shopping addiction. Some of us become kleptomaniacs. Some of us become gamblers. We got all of these things that kind of mask the pain and that we do indeed need healing. Amen. So whatever is in there, it needs to be brought out into the light. Jesus is the light, saint. And when he comes in, he shines on this and he heals what is inside. But we have to first admit that there is something wrong. Amen. That's the way we get to wholeness. Admit, and Jesus will come in with his power. All right, I thank you, Lord. I admit I need help. Praise God. And I thank you for your healing today. The second step is realize that apart from Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. Say it together. Realize that apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Amen. We're powerless to heal ourselves. We're powerless to transform ourselves. It's got to be Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. For a genuine, complete healing, for a genuine, complete change, we got to confess that we're powerless to change. Philippians 4, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So realize apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Step 3 is believe that nothing is impossible with God. Say that with me. Nothing is impossible with God. All right. While we're powerless to change ourselves, God has all the power. God, no matter how dark our circumstances, God can heal and help us on our way to wholeness. Amen. By God's grace and mercy. That's just so exciting to me that to know no matter what, nothing is impossible with you, Lord God. So I'm going to keep walking with you and praying with you. I want my will to be in line with your power. Hallelujah. Now, step 4, saints, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Amen. So we want to ask the Holy Spirit to help us through this process of healing as individuals, process as a church. Amen. We got to reveal our source of pain. Just say, Lord, this really upset me, and I want to give it to you. Holy Spirit, like in Psalm 139, David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. So it's like, Holy Spirit, come in, be my guide, speak to me, reveal to me, and you will determine the way I will go and how I will be healed. So let the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is in control. The Holy Spirit is able to work, amen, in the best way suited for you and your healing. Step 5, express your emotions before the Lord. How many have done this? You just got so frustrated and you just said, Lord, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Or Lord, I just am so upset I cannot go back to that job another day. But you took time to get on your knees, fall on your face, and just express your emotions to the Lord. Praise God. And saints, this is a very, very awesome thing to do. Many times we Christians, we're dishonest. We keep saying, oh, I'm all right. There's nothing wrong. Yes, it is something wrong. We can all see it. And so you just need to be honest and express it to God. One time I just went out and I was walking in nature and I was just talking to God. I don't know if the birds thought I was crazy or anybody else that might have been walking by, but I just had to tell God what I was feeling, and I just tell God. And you know what? That letting God know, because God is listening. And we look in Luke 22:39, Jesus did the same thing. We have the account of our Lord Jesus. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he is before he goes to the cross. He's just letting out his emotional stress. He is just crying out before God because he knew he was about to be betrayed. He knew he was about to be whipped, and he knew he was getting ready to suffer a terrible death. And scripture says his sweat was blood. But he said, oh God, this hurts. And I feel like I'm just hurting on the inside. If there's any other way to do this, let it be done. But thy will be done, not my will. But Jesus had to express his emotions, amen. And after he did that, he was able to go on into the will of God, and he died and suffered for us, and he forgave those who were about to crucify him, who was saying, crucify him. He forgave each and every one. But before he did, he expressed his emotions. So we need to do that, saints. And you could go into your closet, and you could just, that's the best place you can go. Go to your closet or go get in your car some, and just say, oh, God, this is how I feel. This is how I feel. And if somebody's walking by, just wave at them and let them keep going. And then go back, God, this is how I feel. Oh, God, there is something healing. Amen. There is something healing about that. And we say, thank you. Our Lord Jesus modeled that for us. And then step six, extend forgiveness. Everybody say that. Extend forgiveness to others and to ourselves as well. Amen. Because forgiveness is directly related to our emotional well-being. Forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. Forgiveness. When we don't forgive others, we actually are hurting ourselves even more than we're hurting them. We're causing ourselves ulcers. We're holding ourselves captives. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. When we forgive, when we pray this prayer, that's the best therapy there is. Lord, forgive me, and Lord, may I forgive all who have sinned against me. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus wants to set us free. Praise God. He wants to set us free. Just remember these steps. And it says in 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. And this is just, I want us to read this together, because this is how Jesus sets us free. He heals and sets us free. Together, saints. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who are with unveiled faces all reflect. Let me see where I'll go with you. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. Amen. So just imagine yourself healed. Imagine yourself freed. Hallelujah. Freed from those things that have happened to you in the past. It doesn't change what happens, but it changes you. Amen. God is able to heal, and you can shout like Karen sang today, amazing grace. My chains are broken. I'm healed. We're healed. We're free. Free to move to new levels. Amen. Free to experience the dreams, the goals that we've always had for our lives, and even beyond. Amen. So, saints, I want to ask us today, healing, what do you really want God to do in your life today? I want you to just take a moment. Healing, what do you really want God to do in your life today? And I want to be very clear, saints. Jesus can heal today. Jesus. No matter what the circumstances in your life, no matter what the situation, no matter what the pain, no matter what problem you've had, no matter what illness you got, no matter what relationship issue you have, no matter what the problem may be, whether it's even another family member or friend, Jesus can make a difference in your life today. Hallelujah. Jesus can heal us, saints. Jesus can restore us, saints. Jesus can make us brand new. Amen. Jesus can still heal us today. And our desire, praise God, for each of us should be to hear God's voice. Amen. To sit with the Lord, to be still and know that God is God. To be able to worship and praise God. And as we worship, to experience what God showers down upon us, ministering to us in our various needs and together as a body. To know wholeness. To know restoration, amen, to be able to move to new levels is only through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Lord of our lives. So the Lord Jesus wants us today to be absolutely sure. Is this what you want? Is this what you want? Do you want to move to a new level in your life today? Do we want to move to a new level as a church today? Do we want the responsibility of becoming just fully functioning in our society, fully functioning for the kingdom of God? Do we want new levels, saints? Do we really, really want to get well? I want to ask you today, do you want to be healed today? Anybody want to be healed today? Anybody want to be set free today? Oh, hallelujah. Does anybody want to be restored today? Yes, Lord Jesus, yes. Our Lord's question is still the same, amen, and it's relevant today. Is this what you want? Right now, you and I are in the presence of the only one who could bring healing to our lives. Restoration, salvation, power, only Jesus. And we need to decide, is this what I want? Do I really want to be made whole today? Do I really want to be restored today? Do I really want to be made right with God and God living through me as I journey in this life? I'm ready. I'm ready for the responsibilities associated with being Holy Ghost filled, amen. New, renewed, healed, praise God. One thing in my life, and you could just look back in your life, anything. I remember some of the names I was called growing up. And it's funny how you remember those names, the bad names. You can't only remember good things that people said, but you remember those stereotypical negative things. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to give you that name. I'm going to give you, let me choose which one. Yeah, I'll take that one. That one was the worst one. And I'm going to give it to you. And I'm thanking you, oh God, that you saw me through that situation. And you know the pain that it left, the scarring that it left, and how it affected my self-esteem over all of these years. I give it to you, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, for healing me. Yes, I do want to be made well. Yes, because I want to be all that I can be in, through, and for you, Lord God. Yes, I want to be healed, and I want to be restored. And so when I think of that particular name, now, it don't even bother me like it used to, because the Lord told me, I love you. You are so loved. You are so adored. You are so smart. You are just so beautiful. You don't even have to worry or keep on downing yourself for those things that they said about you. Praise your name. Yes, I want to be healed. I want to be healed. What about you today? Oh, saints, is it too hard for us to really change? To say, sometimes we hold on to stuff, and even though it's miserable, we've been holding on to it. We're just going to keep on holding to it. But God is calling us to let go of it and let the Lord come in and shine and heal, that we might rise to higher levels. William Barclay, the commentator, he said that the first step toward receiving healing and wholeness and receiving the power of Jesus in our lives is wanting it. Do we want it today? As individuals, as individual families, and as a church, do we want it? If, saints, in our inmost hearts, we're content to stay the way we are, then there will be no change. There will be no change. If you are content with where you are, if we are content, there will be no change. And that's why Jesus asked the man, and Jesus asked us as well today. Do we really want to get well? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your love and for your power, Lord God, that when you begin the healing process, when we, like the man who said, yes, I do, he got up and he picked up his mat and he started walking, we too want that healing process to take place. And healing is not just restricted to physical problems and challenges, but relational challenges and emotional challenges and spiritual challenges as well. And Lord, we know you are more than able to heal and accomplish, Lord, what concerns each and all of us today. You can heal rifts between husbands and wives. You can heal rifts between parents and children. And oh God, you can just heal relationships at work with bosses and co-workers and other employees. You can heal the relationship between neighbors and relatives and friends. And Lord, we could just go on and on because there's no limit, Lord, because with you all things are possible. And Lord, we give you praise, Lord, that as individuals, we say yes today. We desire, I pray that for each one today, that we each desire to say yes to your healing and yes to newer levels in our lives. Because when the church is healed and when we're united, hallelujah, oh, you move in a mighty way and you move each of us and all of us together to new levels. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for a kingdom-minded saints. Thank you for humility in our midst. Thank you for oneness, one in the spirit, one in you, Lord Jesus Christ. And we know it all begins with our need to determine if we really want it. And as God's people, then rise, pick up our mat, and participate, and believing that new levels in our lives as individuals and as a church will indeed happen. And so we say, make it so, Lord. Make it so, Lord. Make it so in each life and make it so in our lives together. And we know that there is help in Jesus Christ. There's healing in Christ. He came to set us free. He came to give us salvation. And we say thank you. And salvation includes heaven, but it also includes healing. Physical, spiritual, emotional, relational. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you that you came not only to bear our iniquities, but our griefs and bear our sorrows too. And so we say thank you for healing, for miracles of healing this day. And if there's someone here today that does not yet know you as Lord and Savior, we pray that they will not leave this place today without coming forward and just opening their heart and giving us the privilege of praying with them. Lord, that you might come in and save them and begin that healing process, that transforming process. Lord, taking them to new levels and to levels that they never even dreamed. Make it so as our prayer this day, that no one would leave here without knowing you as Lord. And we give you thanks and praise for all that you have done, are doing, and yet shall do in, through, and for we your people. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we all join together to say, amen and amen.